Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, Lee.
Hey there, Tara.
Late breaking news, Wall Street Journal. Trump to soften the blow of automotive tariffs. And I'm surprised he didn't do this up front, but preventing duties on foreign-made cars from stacking on top of other tariffs he's imposed. Easing some levies on foreign parts used to manufacture cars in the U.S. So this is one of the things I wondered about for beginning. Take Ford, for example. They make their cars here, yeah, by and large. But when you say make the car here, okay, yeah, but across the board, 70% of the parts come from here, but another 30% do not. So they make them here, but not all of it here. And I kind of thought it was a little ridiculous. It was going a little too far to say, oh, come on. You know, ease off of them. They're going to use some foreign parts, not the end of the world. They're still basically making them here. And so why should they be docked for that? And that's why Ford, for instance, is offering employee pricing right now to help with the price of the tariffs. And that's confusing for some people. Like, why would they have to do that? They're made here. They are made here, but not all their parts are. So you are going to still get hit with tariffs, even if you make the cars here. So it was a bit extreme. There has to be some flexibility, you'd think, especially if they're working with you. You know, they're trying to onshore more stuff. So Trump kind of acknowledged that overnight. Now, we don't know. He's going to ease some levies on foreign parts. We don't know. It's not 100%, used to manufacture cars in the U.S. And it's going to be for some manufacturers. So we don't have all of those details yet, but the move is going to be retroactive, which means that automakers paying Trump's automotive tariffs won't be charged for other duties like on steel and aluminum. So suppose you're making the cars here, but you need steel and aluminum. Well, you'd have to pay those tariffs. Some of that they're going to get back reimbursed for tariffs already paid. 25% tariff on foreign-made cars went into effect earlier this month. So there's going to be some payback and some adjustment of this and some softening of it. And he says it's because he's been able to get some concessions that he really liked from automakers. So what do you make of that? Because I know you're big into cars. And
this is, like you said, I mean, this is something that probably was going to happen. I kind of feel like that this may be part of the strategy, is that you do a broad sweeping thing to begin with, realizing that there's going to be details that are going to have to be worked out. And then when you start dealing with those details, it looks like that you're giving in some, that you are allowing the opposition to gain something, when actually all you're doing is taking back something that you've already taken away, or yeah, giving back something you've already taken away. So,
right.
So you which kept is typical Trump yeah, negotiating tactic.
Yeah, it
which
is.
And it's very smart, very smart.
They're calling it a major victory for the president's trade policy. Automakers have been in near, this is Wall Street Journal breaking this morning, been in near daily communication with the administration, secured some relief while Trump obtained commitments to further his domestic manufacturing goals. He hasn't announced all those yet, they say. And he's expected to take the actions ahead of a trip to Michigan for a rally outside Detroit. Well, that's tonight, marking the 100 days since he took off. So hopefully there'll be more good news there, too. And some of this, too, is probably a response to his polling right now, which is quite good on immigration. It's not so great on the economy, yeah, or tariffs. Fox News polls tend to be very biased for some reason. You'd think they wouldn't be, but they are.
I think they go out of their way to try to be objective, and I think maybe they lean too far the other way sometimes. Yeah. And, you know, it's...
Well, they're showing 56% disapproving on the economy, 59% yeah. approving of the tariffs, only 38% approve on the economy and 33% approve on the tariffs. Here's the thing on that. I don't take that seriously because we haven't seen much except media rhetoric on the yeah. tariffs. We don't. Maybe they'll be terrible. Maybe they won't. Maybe it'll be a mixed bag. We don't actually know yet.
Well, I mean, these things have just this month gone into right. effect. And it is going to take time for those increased costs, if they are passed on to the consumer, to make their way into the economy. And honestly, I really haven't seen anything. Now, I'm not out buying cars or houses or, no. you know, major appliances or anything. But, you know, we're really not seeing a whole lot yet. But then, you know, it could be going. Like you said, right now, we're just simply people are reacting in these polls to their perception of what the effect will be. We haven't really seen the effect yet.
And the coverage has been
yes.
absolutely uniformly right. negative. And one of the things that's getting on my nerves is they do not focus on China at all. They do not focus on those supply chains literally crumbling.
Yeah.
The Wall Street Journal did finally do a piece on it. It's all America-centric and the end is coming. It's basically yeah. there's no counterpoint. I mean, it can't all be bad.
Well, I mean, but
it's just not possible.
The thing is, these policies are having an impact on the rest of the world. I mean, you know, listen yeah. to this. The new Prime Minister of Canada, we had at the top of the hour, he thinks that the age of global trade is over. I mean, you know, doomsday. I mean, it's not. It is going to continue. But, of course, that's the way that the liberal progressives are going to portray this.
Right. And we'll feel that way for him because what he just saw was supply chains. And this was so great yesterday, moving from China with Apple mm-hmm. to a country that wants to kill us and has bragged about cyber attacking us in just the last few months to India, a country that, yes, we've had issues with, but they don't, as far as I can tell, want to kill us or crash our grid.
Well, of course, and the Chinese as well have been doing business with Canadian and Mexican companies in order to circumvent the trade agreements that we have with those two countries.
That's their only gig. Nobody would make a darn thing in those stupid countries. God bless them, especially Canada, with their enviro problems. I mean, you know, in terms of how expensive energy is, just stupid. If they weren't basically assembling Chinese stuff. And when you see the Prime Minister of Canada freak out, yeah, he just watched the entire Apple supply chain and manufacturing move to India. And that's terrifying if all you do is assemble stuff for China so they can get around our trade rules and trade laws. That's all Canada does. There is no value added in Canada. There's no reason to be there. And the second the Chinese don't need them anymore because we've moved the whole thing to India because China won't stop trying to kill us, Canada's cooked. They had a scam. They should not have built their economy around it. Shame on them. And when you look at what was $70 billion, that's just what India just got with us moving just the Apple phone assembly out, you know, construction, whatever you want to call it. Manufacturing is a better word, out of China to India. That is a mega blow to China. And Canada's just seeing the writing on the wall. Well, you shouldn't have thrown in with people who, you know, Christopher Wray, love him or hate him, we don't like him. But as he's leaving office as the head of the FBI, says the biggest threat facing America is China attacking our grid and grinding it to a halt, shutting it down. I mean, have we forgotten?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm amazed at this because I got this post of mine going viral on X, and I'm just watching it, shaking my head. It's all these liberals. That's why they're retweeting me, and they're going viral because I said this is what I voted for about Apple ditching China and moving to India, and they're laughing at me. Ha 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 ha! The jobs aren't coming to America. That's what you voted for? Heck yeah, it is. They're trying to kill. What part of your FBI director says the biggest threat facing America is China? Melting down our grid. What part of that did you not understand? That we are not going to be able to make everything here.
No.
Everybody knows
yeah.
that. The Trump people know
yes.
that. Okay? They know that. We have to crush China. We have to... The best case scenario here for avoiding war with China is to defeat the Communist Party, neuter the Communist Party. I hope to crush them. Economically, without ever firing a shot.
Yeah.
You close half the factories. That's what Zero Hedge is reporting. You close half the factories, they ain't going to make it. They're not. Their government is based on exports. And the only thing standing in the way, you know what I think Trump's ambition is, Lee? And I'm not, I do not misunderstand, I'm not forecasting that he will achieve it, right? Mm-hmm. But I think this is his ambition. I think he wants to complete what Reagan started. Nobody thought Reagan could bring down the Communist Party of Russia. Nobody thought they could, that he could. That was unfathomable when he started. I think Trump wants to crush the CCP, the Communist Party of China, and decimate them. If you could do that without firing a shot, the world would be safe. If you could turn China into Japan, basically. Yes, an economic competitor, fine, great, we'll take it. But a democracy. Now, I know that's a really, really long shot, but I am convinced that's what Trump's trying to do. And the main thing standing in his way are the liberal financial media and the Democrat Party, who will do anything to protect China. Again, I mean, I posted this for these, liberals who are attacking me. Headline, NPR, right? One of their sources. Ray says Chinese hackers are aiming to wreak havoc on U.S. critical infrastructure. At that point, listen, including water treatment plants, pipelines, the power grid, this is NPR. Like, at what point, Lee, does the survival instinct kick in for this country and go, you know, wow, we couldn't do 2 weeks without clean water in this country and the grid being off. We can't. And then there's a question when the nuke plants would melt down. Never mind, they're inside those too. This has got to stop. It's got to. And Trump understands this. He is surrounding China and trying to choke them off. Democrats are trying to throw him a lifeline. Look, we're never going to get, unless you want to pay $4,000 for an iPhone, I don't. They're going to send it to India. Good. We'll make stuff here too. But that's a win. It's still a win. Alarmed by the CBS disaster, Bill Belichick insiders are leaking that his girlfriend, Jordan Hudson, is a runaway train. You think? She saw an opening and she took it, the insider added, of how Hudson, 24, inserted herself into every aspect of her 73-year-old boyfriend's life and career. By the way, only a 49-year age difference, but who am I to judge? This is what everybody's talking about, by the way. Belichick's doing an interview with CBS. Girlfriend's off to the side, okay, so she's not a part of the interview. Not supposed to be anyway. And then this happened.
Everybody in the world seems to be following this relationship. How do you deal with that?
Never been too worried about what everybody else thinks. Just try to do what I feel like is best for me and what's right.
How did you guys meet?
Not talking about this.
No?
No.
It's a topic neither one of them is comfortable commenting on.
I'm sure. Yeah, let me tell you why. Because she stalked him, that's why. No, she had a beat on him. She knows he's got money. Yeah, that's why. She don't want to talk. She did. You know what? She hooked him and reeled him in. And if he told the story, it would be obvious to everybody who consumed it, except probably poor Bill. Because, you know, the 49-year age difference. Where's he going to get a hot chick like this? Who's not crazy? Even at his age with the money. Anyway, he was doing an interview about his new book, The Art of Winning. Shutting down the conversation. When correspondent Tony DeCapole asked how the couple met. Oh, and she went full ragey. Nope, we're not talking about it. She barked. Okay. You know what? As long as he's happy. I could tell, though, watching her, so could everybody else. She's not. Hey, speaking of not being happy, folks, you want to know what the future holds? Okay, look at this. You pay attention to what's going on in Spain right now. Oh, it's glorious. Do you know what happened in Spain? Well, they hit and made a big deal out of it. 100% renewable powered grid. Yeah, it was historic on April 16th. You hear about this? Showing it could be done. Spain, for the first time ever, was able to meet the country's energy needs by powering its national grid with 100% clean, renewable power. including wind, solar, and hydroelectric energy, proving that all it took was the will to get there. Well, how's that going? Not so good. Yeah, that was back on April 16th. Now it's April 29th, and the country is in the dark. The country is in the dark, folks. And here's the funny thing that they don't tell you when they're trying to get you to switch your grid over to renewables. Normally, if the grid went down, right, and it was powered by, say, like coal and natural gas, well, you could just refire the grid, right, and it would come on. They had to, Spain's grid operator, Red Eléctrica, has had to unplug their grid from the European grid. Seems to be roughly the equivalent of like, I don't know what's wrong with the computer, honey. Just unplug it. I don't know. Reboot it. Except you can't reboot when you run off of renewables because they're not powerful enough. You can't reboot. Not easily. Not easily. So now what? Well, power went out smack in the middle of rush hour, country ground to a halt. And well, you know. Tried living in a cave? That's what it's like. We keep electing left-wingers. We'll find out soon enough. Anyway, mass multi-country blackouts. Spain, Portugal, oh, it's a mess. It's a mess. By the way, they're lying about it. They're saying there was some sort of, you know, photovoltaic event, some sort of strange weather. Yeah, no, the weather was very nice. It wasn't even particularly hot. They made it 2 weeks as they're trying to figure out how to turn the power back on. They're now calling it over-reliance on renewables. Folks, you can't run a grid entirely on renewables. And you know what the thing is? If you tell the left that, and you even demonstrate it to them with science, because science does not matter to these people, they'll simply ignore you. They'll just ignore you and try it anyway. Why? Because if the power goes out, win-win for them. When you consider the folks, the purpose is to destroy the self-sufficiency of Western nations and to exfiltrate the manufacturing, to push it out of the country, get rid of the well-paying jobs and induce government dependency. Why would they care if it worked? And the benefit of a rolling blackout, as we've seen in Venezuela, is they can use it for political control. If you're not well-behaved, well, we're going to have to ration energy, save the planet. We can control individual parts of the grid right down to your box. They will be able to in the future. I know your last name starts with the wrong letter. Or you're not well behaved. And electricity might not come on in your house. It's great. So anyway, we wish them the best. Hope they get this fixed. By the way, seeing this will not slow the left down in this country one iota. We have 40% less coal right now in this country in use than when Barack Obama took office. Electricity prices alone during the Biden administration went up 29%. By design, I put even more off limits, trying to get to the glory Spain has achieved. By the way, you know what the cool thing is if you're a leftist? When the whole power grid goes out in the middle of rush hour, and you're not going to have any manufacturing anymore, not that they had any left. You know the really cool thing is? You're finally completely green. There won't be any food or products after a while, but it's not a big deal. Okay, well, Democrats, led by J.B. Pritzker, trying to work their mobs back up into Summer of Love-style violence. They know their mobs are capable of it. They got to turn them out. They're trying to do that. Here's Pritzker. Just the latest to walk all the way up to calls for violence. These are words working up to calls for violence. This is wink, wink, nod, nod. We cannot have the president deporting gang members, criminals, human traffickers, who if they just got to stay a little longer could vote Democrat, and we are going to take to the streets.
Never before in my life have I called for mass protests, for mobilization, for disruption, but I am now. That we will fight their cruelty with every megaphone and microphone that we have. We must castigate them on the soapbox and then punish them at the ballot box.
Never know a moment of peace. You mean like the summer of love? Those poor business owners, 40% of whom didn't have any insurance, lost everything because Democrats burned down those people. $50 million, Kenosha alone. Damages like that, you mean? Which they never condemned and egged on all the way. By the way, they're egging them on, too, with this as well.
You think we're in the middle of an attempted authoritarian overthrow of American democracy?
We have to clearly attack President Trump for the wannabe dictator he is.
I understand very well why it is wrong to compare Adolf Hitler's Third Reich to any other movement. But there are important lessons. Trump administration is insisting on trying to create their own preferred version of reality.
This is from the people we caught just last week. Tulsi Gabbard released the classified report. Were debanking us, spying on us, and having us censored, and then classified the entire program because it was illegal and they needed to hide it. Those people. They're outraged now. Why? Because they're literally mad because they lost. And we can't be censored, debanked, cut out of the system like political dissidents. They're mad they don't have the power anymore. That's all. Stephen Miller nailed this. He's Trump's deputy chief of staff, talking about J.B. Pritzker. And look, what they're doing here, I mean, folks, this is how this is going to go. They need a Democrat to come out and say physically harm the GOP, and that'll be their nominee for 2028. Whoever does that first, no working their way up to it. Whoever comes out and says we need to physically harm GOP, that's their nominee. Well, they call us fascists and Nazis. And throw a temper tantrum because they didn't manage to debank and censor us into silence. They got real close. Had they won this time, it would have been brutal. We came this close to losing our freedoms. And we see how close we came every day. Every day there's a new disclosure like, holy cow, that's a Politburo there. That's the beginning of political persecution. Folks, it got so bad. This is the thing that kills me about last week. AOC and Bernie are flying around $15,000 an hour jet on an oligarchy tour, claiming that Trump and Elon are the oligarchs. When we find out that Trump, Melania, even Barron and Trump Jr., they were all debanked. Trump Jr. says, we had a deal in cryptocurrency for WAS. We had no way to spend money. They're the oligarchs? No, the people who did that to the Trumps are the oligarchs. Did it to Melania, too. What the heck did she ever do besides look better than any, like, you know, Democrat first lady in the last, I don't know, century? What did Barron do? I don't know. Wrong genes? No, political persecution. It's what it is. And they want the mob to rule. That's what they want. They want them coming after you. They want the voting public to be afraid to speak out against them or oppose them in any way. That's what they want. Stephen Miller nails this. He's Trump's deputy chief of staff.
His comments, if nothing else, clearly could be construed as inciting.
By the way,
violence.
He's talking about Pritzker. Pritzker's comments. No peace, not a moment of peace. Out in the streets, mass protest.
His comments, if nothing else, clearly could be construed as inciting violence. So President Trump survived two assassination attempts against his life. Of course, there's been many more credible threats against President Trump and his family and associates. We've, of course, seen the spate of left-wing domestic terrorism all across this country. By the way, the destruction of property sits directly adjacent to to attacks on humans and physical attacks. In other words, once you tolerate and once you allow for attacks on property, you're just a step away from people throwing Molotov cocktails into people's homes. And you've even seen some, I think one example of a formerly prominent Washington Post journalist who seemed to be celebrating the murder of a healthcare CEO, right? Health insurance CEO. And that's where that's the point we've reached in this country, where people are engaging in rhetoric and behavior that puts the lives of public servants in danger, puts the lives of conservative Americans in danger. And so that's the first thing I would say. And then, of course, secondly, right, just this war that Democrat governors and mayors are waging against federal law enforcement. I mean, this is nullificationist behavior. This is secessionist behavior. But this thing, they don't recognize the supremacy of federal law enforcement in terms of protecting the lives and livelihoods of American citizens against a foreign invasion. Never seen anything like it. And, of course, the result of their conduct is that they're allowing illegal aliens to go free and rape and murder their own citizens. So I can imagine having a leader in a city or a state that would privilege the well-being of illegal alien murderers over their own citizens, but that's where we are right now.
Let me tell you where they are right now. They feel they had a win with Elon Musk. Tesla's quarterly earnings dropped 71%. The company announced that last Monday, latest sign, vehicle manufacturer, and is downturn, basically earnings totaling $409 million. That's down from $1.4 billion in the first quarter of last year. And so they feel like, wow, we have won. We've intimidated and scared people into not buying Teslas. It's working. That's what they think. What is actually happening here? I mean, they want the mob to rule. They want them coming after you. They want the voting public to be afraid to even speak out against them or oppose them in any way. They want to create the idea that nobody's speaking out against them because everybody's with them. They want to do it through terror. I mean, it's your usual tricks. They've adopted since the summer of love. But they misunderstand what happened with Elon Musk. Elon Musk customers were the left. They told their own sheeple not to buy cars from him anymore because he was stopping their fraud, and the sheeple always do what they're told. They feel like they thugged out and won a round. People are scared now. Let's keep going. Let's thug out some more. We're going to win. They fundamentally misunderstand the situation. That's not what happened. But they feel they've had a win. Elon Musk announced, hey, I'm transitioning out. He was always going to anyway, but he's not sticking around. And they want to scare some more people into liking them or at least not opposing them. It won't work. Folks, the background on Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem's illegal immigrant purse snatcher shows us how we will live if they ever get the upper hand. Apparently, the illegal immigrant who snatched her purse, we now know, is part of a theft ring. Folks, we didn't have these before. If you were in the NFL, you used to be, this is crazy, you used to be able to leave your home and go play the game. And people, if you were on the field, people would know you were not at your home, and you could do that, and you could come back to your home, and your stuff would be there. God bless that, America. Till Joe Biden put a target on every one of our backs. Invited the world's crime rings to come here and rob us blind. They did. He's part of one of those crime rings. And now we're finding out how he was out to do this. Now, keep in mind, he did a stint in prison as an illegal immigrant in London for doing this very thing. But then when he found out, Joe Biden invited the world's criminals to come and join him and the Democrats in the new country they were building. He came to America instead.
I would, in fact, make sure we immediately surge to the border. All those people are seeking asylum. We're a nation that says if you want to flee and you're fleeing oppression, you should come.
Yeah. He invited him. So he rips her off during Easter dinner, steals her $4,000 purse, $3,000 cash in the purse, is so nonchalant about the whole thing, hops a bus, goes to a high-end restaurant, boozes it up until midnight, rings up a $205 bill on her American Express, which she should have canceled. I don't know why she didn't cancel it. According to documents released by prosecutors Monday. Well, here's the outrageous part. In the this is how we will live part. He got caught doing a very similar thing just weeks ago in the Democrat metropolis of New York, but they let him go. He had a detainer and they let him go. He's an illegal immigrant with a desk appearance ticket and a court date. Did he show up for the court date? Of course not. In Democrat New York, you are a you are the most privileged form of human being. If you're an illegal immigrant, repeat criminal. The only higher form of life would be an illegal immigrant, repeat criminal who's in Trende or Ragua. That is, at this moment, the highest form of life. It is. Watch them. It's all they care about. They tell you what they love and value. Anyway, he had a headline-grabbing bust in 2015 in London, where he was arrested for a months-long theft spree, charged with palming $28,000 in phones, wallets, and computers. Landed on the NYPD's radar on March 2nd after he swiped a fanny pack from Times Square shop, racked up a $1,200 in credit card charges in just 20 minutes. It was a stolen card. Cops caught him in 30 minutes, but the damage was already done. Within 20, he'd spent tons of authorized charges on the card and gets basically a desk appearance ticket after being arrested. Out the door he goes. Being an illegal immigrant doesn't even slow him down. Unbelievable. So that's it. That's what they'll turn America into. They're on the front steps of the Capitol singing songs to God about how peaceful it could be if we all got along. When they say get along, this is what they mean. They get to go along no matter what they do.